Hallelujah. I want to welcome back Reverend tonight. Amen. Oh, put your hands together. I thought you'd be excited. The Reverend is back with us. Reverend, you're welcome. Amen. We missed him on Sunday. Amen. Amen. But we thank God that he was about the Lord's business. He was about his Father's business. So we are glad. We are one big family. Amen. Whether there or here, north or south, it's all the same family. Amen. So we thank God that he's back here with us. Amen. And I know that God has prepared something powerful for us tonight. God, he has been teaching on a very powerful series that God has laid on his heart. Amen. Amen. And I believe that we are going to be blessed tonight. Amen. How many of you believe that we're going to be blessed? Christ coming with fresh anointing. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We thank God for this evening. Amen. Without further much ado, I want you to rise to your feet and put your hands together with Jesus' joy and excitement. Let us welcome Reverend David Saki to minister the word of God unto us tonight. Amen. Amen. You don't stop clapping until he comes. Amen. Amen. Welcome, Reverend. Hallelujah.
We pray. Father God, we thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercies. We bless you for your holy, merciful, righteous name. Speak to us. May none of us live the same. Bless us indeed and enlarge our territory. In Christ Jesus' precious name we pray. And the saints said, Amen.
Amen.
We may take our seats. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
So God is going to speak to us. We're going to continue our series. Technical difficulties, but nevertheless, God is powerful. Amen.
Amen.
What have we been talking about so far? What has God been showing us? Yes, it's a question, it's not a statement. So, what has God been sharing with us these past few weeks? On prayer, what have we learned so far on prayer? How to pray for long periods of time? What are some of the ways? Number one, the video message. Number two,
have a clock.
The first thing you need to do is to have a clock. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you have a clock, and then what's the next thing? Turn off your phone. If you don't turn off your phone, you'll be wasting your time. You're not going to be able to pray. And then what's the next one? The video. Number four,
music.
Have music playing. Number five. And videos. Is it James Bond video?
No.
Yes. Messages that are preached. Hallelujah. And we have plenty of them from our Father himself. The Father God has given to us, Bishop. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Messages to the audio. We have plenty. And none of you mentioned audio messages, did you? Yes, audio messages. Hallelujah. What's next? Wow. What's next? Please, if you can speak louder, that would be helpful. Yes. Facebook was one of the things we needed to slow down. And then we talked about a prayer bomb. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, who can summarize what a prayer bomb is? If I can, we give her a microphone, please. Because we can't hear. Don't worry, the microphone, so that we don't waste too much time.
Hello. Okay. So, prayer bond is basically having a prayer topic and having a certain amount of hours to pray towards that specific topic. So, if you have a topic, let's say you're trying to get a job, that's your prayer bond. And then let's say you want to pray 100 hours towards that. So yes. You try to target maybe 8 hours or 10 hours a day. Yeah.
Very good. What else is next? Praying an hour or more is not, praying an hour or less is not effective, but 1 hour or more is effective. And why did we say that? What verse did we use? If you don't remember the verse, what story? Yes. If someone can pass the microphone around. Niaji, pass the microphone around.
Amen. When Jesus was in the garden with his disciples, and then he went to go and pray, and every time he came back, they were sleeping.
Yes.
So he said, could you not just tarry with me for 1 hour?
Yes. Could you not watch with me for watch. 1 hour? Yeah. Just 1 hour.
Amen.
Okay, very good. What else did we talk about?
Read Christian books and a Bible.
Yep, yes, please.
Read Christian books and a Bible.
Yes, so reading Christian books and the Bible. Praise God. Anything else? Yes, you can
you
stand
also
up.
Mentioned,
it would be helpful. Stand up.
You also mentioned that, so say you pray for, you're praying, and then just when you're rounding up, you realize that, oh, I have maybe 6 or 7 minutes more to actually get maybe, say, a proper number.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So don't stop.
Yes.
Just add the 6 minutes and make it even, make it nice.
Yes.
Yeah, round
so
up
very
nicely.
Good. So meaning that we have quarterly 1/4 if you are praying for, you don't pray less than 25 minutes. So if you do it in increments of 25 minutes, 1/4, half, 3/4, okay. It's technology can always dodge you. Hallelujah. Yes, so that's very important. So if you go into pray for an hour and you wind up praying for maybe an hour and 10 minutes, you can add the 5 minutes to make it 1 hour, 15 minutes. Because the more prayer you get, the better. What about tongues? What did we say about tongues? We should pray more in tongues. Hallelujah. Because we will talk about tongues also. Tongues is a very powerful tool. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, he who prays in an unknown tongue speaketh mysteries, prays not to themselves, but to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1-4. Sorry, 14. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Hallelujah. Amen. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Hallelujah. Amen. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now there's a lot to say about this one, but in general, what the Bible is saying is that it's better to pray in tongues. I mean, it's better to prophesy than to speak in other tongues in terms of the gift of tongues that ministers. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's better to prophesy than to speak in tongues unless there's an interpreter. Let's look at the next verse. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification. The main thing is for edification of the church. Hallelujah. So when someone is prophesying, the word prophesying in this verse is not prophesying in terms of foreseeing or talking about your past or your future. The word prophesying is to proclaim, is to speak God's mind, is to speak what God has for you and I. Hallelujah. So that will come with scriptures and exhortation and comfort. Hallelujah. So sometimes when you are prophesying, you are saying what God wants the people to hear. How many get what I'm saying at that particular time? So that's different from foretelling or prophesying that next year this is going to happen to you, or next month you are going to get the car, or next week you are going to get this job. That's different. How many get what I'm saying? So the Bible is saying that the one who speaks in tongues, how many have been in a service where someone is speaking in tongues, speaking, and then another prophesies, or interprets, or the person who is speaking interprets. Now, you see that when they are speaking in tongues and there's an interpretation, thank you, and there's an interpretation, you hear, thus saith the Lord, I love you, my people, then you hear those words. That's the same thing you would hear if the person is prophesying. How many are getting what I'm saying? So as the people begin to develop their gifts, it becomes stronger. Hallelujah. And there is more said. God is able to speak to the people more. How many are getting me? But the main thing I wanted to read was, the one who speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. And they speak mysteries. Last week, what did we talk about? We talked about some reasons why we must pray. What was the first reason? We just talked about one. Pray because prayer is what? A great act of faith. Amen? Amen? And then we read from Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So Jesus gave us a parable to encourage us to always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. Very important. Hallelujah. Because you can give up on what you are praying about. You can be praying about a particular topic, like who said about the prayer bomb, like Sister Etta said, and give up because you feel that God is not going to give it to you. Hallelujah. You pray that God, give me this job, or help me to pass my exams. And you continue to take the exams, and fail the exams. At a point, you feel that God is not ready to hear what you have to say, or God is not willing to hear your prayers or answer your prayers. No, God will always answer our prayers. So we need to keep on praying and praying and praying and praying without giving up. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave the example of an unrighteous judge, which you talked about last week, who did not regard man or fear God. And a widow came to trouble him every time, avenge me, king, avenge me, judge. But the judge would not even listen to her because he did not regard her and he did not fear God. So he could do anything he wanted. He could be unfair. He could be unjust. Anything he wanted, it didn't matter to him because he did not fear God or think about the consequences of his actions. But as the widow continued to come, constantly come, the Bible says, or Jesus said that, look, the king at a point said, wow, this woman is troubling me. Let me give her what she wants. Otherwise, she will wear me out. So the Bible says that this judge who was unrighteous, who was wicked, was able to grant, very important, the widow her request. Now, a widow is someone who has no help, no power, no strength, no one to help her. A widow, who is going to help a widow? Because the husband who is supposed to help her is dead.
and people have rejected her, and that even makes it worse. So the unrighteous judge could have done nothing for her. So Jesus is saying that, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Bible goes on to talk about the fact that this is what the unrighteous judge did. How much more will God not avenge his very elect who cry unto him day and night? The Bible says that he will not delay. Meaning that if an unrighteous judge could give someone what they wanted, how much more God, the righteous judge? God, the righteous judge, what we ask him, as we keep on asking, he will give it to us. But many of us fall short and do not keep on asking. How many are getting what I'm saying? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Now, Jesus is equating persistent prayer to faith. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying, I tell you that he will avenge them quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find people praying persistent prayer? Will he find people continuing to pray and to pray and to pray and to pray? Look at Mark chapter 7, verse 7. So we are talking about praying, which is a great act of faith. Because if you and I don't have faith that prayer works, we will not spend time and hours praying. We would rather use our time to focus on human ways and human help to get us what we are looking for. How many are getting what I'm saying? But it is because anyone who prays has confidence that God is able to do it. No one will waste their time praying for 3 hours or praying for 1 hour a day if they did not believe that God will do it. It's a waste of time. But it is actually an act of faith to pray and to continue praying, because you know that, look, so long as I continue to speak to God, so long as I continue to pray, God will hear my prayer. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. Howbeit in vain, Matthew 7, 7. Howbeit in vain, but that's Matthew 7, 7. Hallelujah. Are you hearing God's word? Now look at this verse, and then after reading it here, we will read it in the Amplified Version after reading it here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given thee, or you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now let's go back to verse 7 using the Amplified, 7 and 8. And it will be a very interesting verse, because sometimes the Bible, you have to read it in context. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the Bible is saying, keep on asking, and it will be given you. So you see that you need to ask and keep on asking. The key is what? Keep on asking. Now, if you don't have faith, you will not keep on asking. You will do it as a routine. You will just pray a few times and give up. Say, I've done my part. But when you keep on asking someone, you can only keep on asking when you are sure they'll give it to you. Keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you. Now check this out, verse 8. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. Now Jesus, who is truth, spoke these words. So it is certain, 100% guarantee, without a doubt, that anyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. Amen. Without a doubt. Amen. But the point is, where do you stop asking? After asking 10 times, do you give up? If Elijah had prayed 6 times, it would not have rained. The Bible says that Elijah went to the king. and said, "Hit, take a bow, an arrow, shoot." And then he shot a few and said, "The Lord's deliverance." Many times, Elijah and Elisha, because they both, Elisha did two times as much as Elijah. Hallelujah. And then he said, "Take the bow, strike the ground." He didn't tell him how many times. He struck the ground three times, and the man of God was angry with him and said, "Why did you not strike it five times or six times? It means that because you shot the arrow, you will be delivered, but you only win three battles. But if you have struck it four, five, six times, you would have cleared all your enemies." So in the same way, when do you stop praying? Well, Jesus is telling us that you have to ask and keep asking without stopping. The saints of God many times are praying, and then just when the prayer is about to, the answer is about to come, then they throw in the towel. But our God, the one who is going to give us what we are looking for, is the one who is speaking. And he is saying, ask. You see, if I am going to give my child something, and I tell my child, "Look, I will give it to you no matter what," all you need to do is to ask and don't stop asking. A child who really knows what they are about and believes the parent will not ask, will never stop asking. Even if it's a year, they'll keep asking. That's a child. But a child who does not believe in the words of the parents will give up after a few minutes. In the same way, if we believe the words of Jesus Christ, you will ask and keep on asking. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Jesus gave us a parable to encourage us to pray and not to give up. Now I preach it to somebody. And now he is also said that everyone, not most, everyone who keeps on asking receives. Glory to God. It means everyone. So what are you praying about that you are praying about casually? What are you praying about? What are you looking for from God that you are asking from time to time in a casual way? Maybe, perhaps, he might give it to me. Maybe, perhaps, he might not give it to me. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, let's start from verse 4. "But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom," how many lack wisdom? Talking about supernatural wisdom. When you say you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you. If you say you have all the wisdom, then there's nothing more to give. Hallelujah. "If any of you lack wisdom," and we are talking about the wisdom of God, and that wisdom is superior to the wisdom of this world. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to get that message. Eating prayer. "That if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally." So our God is a liberal God who gives liberally. Wisdom. If you ask wisdom, he'll give it to you in abundance. And he will not rebuke or abrade or withhold. "And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Amen. So ask, but ask in faith. Because if at a point, if my child says they want something, and I promise them I'll give it to them, and they doubt me, I'll give it to them. But at a point, as they keep doubting, at least God, and I'm assuming I'll do that too. I'll not bother. I'll just say, whatever, if you really want it, you know what to do. Don't shout me down. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Now look at this unfortunate to many verse. "But let not that man think he shall receive anything," that's verse 7, "of the Lord." let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Anything. Anything means what? Anything. So what does it mean? It means you and I must ask by asking faith. Now the devil can trick you and I. Well, he can try to. No, he cannot. He can try to. Because the anointed one will not be exacted by the evil one. You say amen. Amen. And we are anointed. We will not be exacted or cheated or deceived or outwitted by Satan. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But when Jesus and Peter, James, John were coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, what happened? They heard screams and shouts and commotion and were wondering, what is going on? So Jesus asked a man who rushed to him, what is happening? My son has a deaf and dumb spirit. And I asked your disciples to heal him. Because the spirit throws him into the water. He foams from the mouth. And your disciples were not able to heal him. Then what? Jesus said, oh, you faithless generation, how long will I bear with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him to me. And then, because there are certain times that by the Holy Spirit, bring this one to me. It means that God is calling that person. So Jesus said, bring him to me. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Then, as the boy came and was foaming and rolling, Jesus asked, how long has he been in this situation since he was a child? Do you believe? The man said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. So how can you, someone say he's believing and yet unbelieving? You can doubt in your mind, but have faith in your heart. Faith is of the heart and not the mind. So Satan can tell you that you've been whipped, you've doubted. No, you have not. Is the doubt from the heart or the mind? You and I have no control over what Satan will put in our minds. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, Satan tempted him through the mind and told him that throw yourself down. He will give his angels charge concerning thee. What does that mean? It means that Satan was able to, God allowed Satan to enter into his mind because he was man and God fully and was able to tempt him, but without sin. That's what the Bible says, that we do not have an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. So what does it mean? So I believe, I'm believing with my heart, but help my unbelief because my mind is telling me that I'm doubting. So it means that you and I, you can doubt in the mind, but not doubt in the heart. Just make sure you are not doubting in the heart. Because when you are doubting in the mind, do you have control over the birds flying over your head? Who has control over that? Nobody. But you have control over them building a nest on your head. You can just move it out. In the same way, you and I really don't have much control over what enters our minds. But we can resist the devil and he'll flee from us. How many again know what I'm saying? So the key is believing. And straightway the father of the child cried out, Mark 9:24, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm doubting. How many have been in a situation where you are doubting? You are doubting that God is willing. You know God is able, but your question is God willing to do it for me? Because Cousin Joe, it looked like God didn't do it for Cousin Joe. Sister Susan, it looked like God didn't do it for Sister Susan. So, and the devil and other friends are telling me that if he didn't do it for Sister Susan and Cousin Joe, why would he do it for me? But what God did with Cousin Joe and Sister Susan has nothing to do with you and I. What has to do with you and I is that God gives us 100% answered prayer. Amen. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. impossible, impossible to please God. Probability is what? 0.0%. If you say 0%, it could be, you see, 0.4 can be rounded up to zero.
That's right.
But if you say 0.00%, it is not. The probability of pleasing God without faith is not 0.000%. But without faith, because when something is impossible, it is impossible. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, the next part of the verse is explaining why it is impossible to please him, or what we can do to please him. It is impossible to please him for, or it's like saying, because he that comes to God must believe that he is. But as for that one, I can show you in James that even the devils believe and shudder. So that's why you see an end there. And if you have A and B, or you have A or B, A or B means A can work without B, or B can work without A, or A and B can work. If you have A and B, A cannot work without B, B cannot work without A, A and B have to work together. Am I saying something to somebody? So, if the Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, or, that one, I think everybody will please him, even the devils. Let me show you in James chapter 2. Am I preaching to somebody in this house? James chapter 2. All right. James chapter 2, verse 19. Thank you. Thou believest that there is one God. Oh, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Why do they tremble? Because they were worshiping him, Jesus Christ, when Jesus created them. They were worshiping God and fell. So at least they saw him. So the devils have more belief that God exists than us because they saw him. At least when I say us, the unbelievers, you and I as Christians, we believe more than them because we are willing to die, at least those who are willing to die for their faith, or willing to live, or willing to give up everything for their faith. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, Thomas, you've seen. You've done well. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen. They are different from those who have seen. So all of us are different from those who have seen. So I used to pray. There was a time I was having surgery. And I was crying, God, why? I'm doing your work. You know all those routines. Why did you do that? There are people who are not serving you. They are not having surgery. Why did you do that? I had surgery. And the doctors were scaring me and all that. But I said, God, all you need to do is to pacify me. As I go into the operating room with general anesthesia, let me see you. That's all I want. That's the pacification, because I'm very disappointed. I'm very sad. I'm not happy at all. At that time, I was not into faith and some of these things. It was actually that, you see, sometimes adversity. It was actually that surgery that got me into these things. Why? Why? Why is it that it was surgery that got me into these things? Because the doctor said it was a small growth that could have remained. How many see? It's a small thing here. No, I'm not me, but you've seen yourself. Some of us will have something somewhere. Something somewhere, but it's nothing. When they checked, it was nothing. But the doctors have to tell you, hey, it could be this lymphoma, it could be this carcinoma, it could be this. So I had to get myself into the word and into faith and into healing. So that, just in case, I'll be ready. And that's how come I entered into the miracle ministry. Hallelujah. Now, let me see a vision. Let me see as I enter, because general anesthesia, let me see you. I said that, and then there was tears running down my eyes. The doctor just patted me. Of course, they gave me the anesthesia before I realized I woke up. What? Nothing? Nothing. Woke up, nothing. But I consoled myself and said that I'm blessed, more blessed because I have not seen.
That's right.
You got to console yourself somehow. Amen. Whilst I continue to pray. Whilst I continue to pray. So without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why? Because the one who comes to God must believe that he is. Number two is where the rubber hits the road. That's where it separates. And he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now the question is, do we believe that he will reward us if we diligently seek him? Now, ladies and gentlemen, everything you believe will be seen by yourself and all. The Bible says, when the paralytic was being lowered and Jesus seeing his faith, your faith can be seen. So are you someone who is motivated by the belief that he will reward you if you diligently seek him? It will show in what you do to diligently seek him. It will reflect on it. If you and I are people who just casually live our lives, okay, come to church once in a while, you don't do a single thing for God, everything is smooth, you go to heaven. No, there's no hell. You don't go to heaven or hell based on works, but based on faith in Christ Jesus. That's our ticket to heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ and his finished works, believing in him. Full stop. We are justified by faith and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law or the righteousness shall no flesh prevail. For it is evident that the just shall live by faith. In Galatians. Hallelujah. But if you believe, I mean, the easiest is children or people who you work with. Okay, let's take my boss. If I believe that if I try to please my boss and do things the way my boss wants it, I'll be rewarded with a promotion. If I believe it, I'll do it. If I believe it, I'll do it. I said what? If I believe it, I'll do it. If I tell my child that, do this, clean the house, clean your room, wash the dishes, eat well, list them, and then I say, if you do that, and you do your homework, and you do some mathematics, and you do it well, if you are able to do that, I would reward you beautifully. Actually, I've told them that, look, I'll buy you, I don't know, I told them, I'll buy you, I can't even remember, I said I'll buy them a lot if they get A, they get all A's. If they get B's, I'll shake their hands and say, you've done good, nothing, get nothing. You get nothing, you've done well, shake your hands. You've done well. Now, if they believe that if they get the A's, they will be rewarded, they work hard. It's the same with God. If we believe, that's how to please him. Because if you and I believe that God will reward us, in fact, that is what is motivating me. Why am I going to have crusades in Indian reservation? The first time I was going, I was afraid because one of the members of LP Jasmine's church in Brooklyn Park, her cousin was murdered in a reservation, and I don't know whether they've dealt with the case, whether they found the murderer. Murdered. So as we're going, it's only because I want to please God. I'm diligently seeking him. I don't need to go for a crusade. South Dakota, Indian reservation. I'm not going to get anything from it. Not only that, but whatever. Look at Bishop, what Bishop does. Going all over. What is he? The offerings are chicken. Chicken. That's the best offering, the top offering. But the general is tomatoes and onions. It cannot be what you are getting.
So even with this, I don't think I'm pleasing the Lord, because I need to actually please the Lord with more. I need to do 20 times what I'm doing. That's me. What about you? I know mine. Do you know yours? Number two. I think I'll leave that question. I'll start number two, and we will continue later on. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 to 29. The second reason why prayer is very important. Second reason why we must pray, why prayer is of utmost importance. Before I continue, if you don't pray, you cannot sustain what God has given to you. Because the devil and the demons, Phoebe, come. Titi, come. Come, Phoebe. Come. The devil and the demons, let's do clap. Come. Hold this. Come. No, I want everyone to see. Yeah, so you come. Yeah. Is that what the devils are doing? Come on. No, okay. Is that what the demons are doing? Thank you. You can sit down. Is that what the demons are doing? When our blessings, God has blessed us, the demons are clapping and playing. They are not resting. They only rest when they have to rest, and then they get up. Demons are assigned to people. When Daniel was going to lose the opportunity to pray, God promoted Daniel. The Bible says that Daniel, like I said before, he was second in command in the Babylonian Empire. That's the first world empire that ever existed on earth. Then the Medes and the Persians took over. Well, even before that, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, he was second in command. And then Belshazzar, the Medes, the Persians took over. And then Cyrus the Great, the Persians took over, and he was second in command. And there was an opportunity for him not to pray, because there was a command that anyone who asks or prays to any except the king will be thrown into the den of lions. What did Daniel do? Because he knew that it was God who made him second in command in three regimes, what did he do? He knelt down, opened the window towards Jerusalem, and continued to pray. Because he knew that that was what was going to sustain him. Our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our God, Son of God, Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, what did he do? The Bible says, as was his custom, he went to a solitary place and there prayed. So it is amazing. I'm sure the angels are confused, are shocked watching us. Don't pray. I did not go to pray. Look at what is about to happen. Let them pray. And then some of the angels are ready. Because when you pray, you don't send the angels. It's God who sends the angels. When we pray, angels are dispatched by God to do things, not us. That's why when Daniel prayed, the prince of Persia was withstanding the angel, and Michael came to his aid. So angels are ready. I want to fight this devil that's trying to take their blessing. I want to fight it. No, they just need to speak. When they speak, then they run and fight and overcome and destroy the devil's works. But they are confused when we are not praying. They don't understand. It's like, what? This is so easy for them. Of course, they are in heaven. They don't know our struggle. It's Jesus who knows our struggle. That's what the Bible says, that he cannot be touched. He can be touched. He can feel what we feel. The Bible says we do not have an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Nevertheless, he's given us the power by his Spirit to pray and to do all we need to do. So we need to force. It's not easy. In the same way,
You don't win a war easily. Who has ever won a big, mighty war easily? Sleeping, taking it easy, relaxing, and then win a war. Only the people of God. Apart from the people of God in 2 Chronicles with Jehoshaphat and the children of Mount Seir and all those people who came to cast them out of God's possession for them. Apart from them and the Bible, what God did, you don't find people just cruising through a war. Even Alexander the Great, who conquered almost the whole world and was defeated, well, not defeated, but he died in the India area, conquered Persia, conquered a lot of places. Even he needed to do a lot of work and fight hard. When someone has a title, the Great, it means something. Alexander the Great, Cyrus the Great. Of course, Alexander the Great overcame because God gave him the victory. How many remember when the prince of Persia came, when Michael came to help the angel that brought the answer to Daniel? Let me say it again. The prince of Persia was withstanding the angel that was bringing Daniel's prayer, answer to the prayer. So Michael came to fight and just easily finish off the prince of Persia. Then what happened? There was a statement made when Michael left. The Grecian prince is coming. I must go. This was during the Persian Empire. The third world empire on earth was the Greek Empire when Alexander the Great came. So that war that happened when the angel was rushing to fight the prince of Greece was actually to bring forth Alexander the Great's conquests. Nothing happens on earth without God's approval. Nothing happens on earth without a battle. That's why we must pray. If you and I pray, we are getting answers in the spirit realm before they are released on earth. Amen. Nothing happens in the physical unless it's happened in the spiritual. Amen. Things happen in the spiritual realm and then are eventually manifested in the physical realm. Amen. What does that mean? It means that when something is going to happen on earth, it has already happened in the spirit realm. Heaven has already made the decisions. So if you and I are seated together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 2, you and I are seated there, then you and I are seated in the seat of government, that area. So all we need to do is to pray. When we pray, we are getting the prayers or the requests made directly to the judge. And that is where answers or things are decided before they happen on earth. So it means that many people, the thing you are looking for, you need to continue to pray and you'll get it. And sometimes the answer has come and we don't know it. And we are crying. There have been many people who have come to me crying and saying, Pastor, this situation I'm in, I don't know how to solve it. Crying. And then normally when someone tells me their problem, I'm always trying to look for a solution. So you'll be able to advise them. But there are many times that, look, there's no advice. You just tell them that, look, I don't know what to do, but I know what God can do. That's right. So all I'll tell you to do is to continue to trust God and continue to pray. And then I always tell them that I'm very sure in heaven the answer is there waiting. And they are just looking forward to you being happy, because God has given you the answer. And lo and behold, every one of those people, God has always seen them through. But at the time they were crying, after prayer, at the time they were crying, they didn't know that God had given them the prayer, the answer they were looking for. Why? Because the prayer had given them the answer in the spirit realm or in heaven. And it took time to come. That's why faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1 says, now, not tomorrow, now faith is now. So it means that you are thanking God and believing you've received now something that has already been given to you in heaven, but is taking time to come to the earth. So why do you thank God for it and believe you have it? It's because you have it already in heaven. It's just a matter of time.
That's right.
Am I preaching to somebody? Yes. Now faith is, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is hope. Hope is future. Hope is mind. Faith is present. Faith is now. Faith is the heart. Faith is of the heart. Hope is of the mind. Am I preaching to somebody in this room here? So ladies and gentlemen, pray. 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 I remember I was in the UK church and Bishop Richard was preaching and was telling us the secret, because many people were asking, what is the secret to the success of your church? Tell me. He always said that he told them there are only three. I don't know. He always told them, I don't know. And when they pushed him, he would tell them that there are three secrets. Secret one, pray. Secret two, prayer. Secret three, prayer. Three secrets. Pray, pray, pray. That's what he said. Hallelujah. God is more than able. Many people know he's able, but they don't believe he's willing. But Jesus said, through the Holy Ghost, through the prophets, if ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You will. Amen. I said you will. Amen. I said you will. Amen. You will eat the good of the land. Amen. God bless you. Shall we stand to our feet? We'll continue, God willing. And let's speak to the Lord. Ask the Lord to give us the grace to pray.
Oh, yes, Lord. Give us the grace
to pray.
To pray, Lord. Oh, my son, they keep the candles. Oh, yes, Lord. Grace to pray. Grace to pray.
Give me the grace to pray. To pray. To pray. To pray.
To pray. Oh, grace to commune with you, to spend time with you, to fellowship with you. Oh, grace, Lord, to bring our supplications before you, intercession before you. Grace, Lord,
Lord, the grace to pray.
We come before your presence, oh Lord, each and every day, Lord. Oh, an hour each and every day in your presence, Lord. An hour every day in your presence, Lord.
The grace to pray.
Commit our ways into your hands, oh God. To trust also in you, oh God. And it shall bring them to pass, Lord.
The grace to be doers of your word, O God, and not hearers only.
To stand upon your word in faith, Lord. To stand upon your word in faith, Lord. Not shaken, not moved, Lord.
If my people, God says, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will heal from heaven.
Yes, Lord. Grace to pray.
Oh,
grace
we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Wonderful Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor.
Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am, Lord. Take over, come breathe.
breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings.
Father God, we give you praise. We thank you for the grace of God that brings salvation, that brings your favor. We pray that you give us the heart of prayer.
Yes, Lord.
The hearts that will pray. The hearts that would pray fervent prayer. For your word says that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man and woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor for all you do, all you have done, and all you will do. In Jesus Christ's precious name. And amen. The saints said amen.
Amen. Amen.